Well, good evening. Hope you've had a good day, a good Lord's Day. And it's been a good time here for worship, and I'm sure it will be again this evening. Especially want to thank Steve and Jack for sharing with us today and again tonight. And, I think it was real good. Let's give them a close hand. They both did a good job. And also, they're here with Julie and Hannah. Hannah's up. They're very talented. We need to use their talents a lot more. And a lot of other people. We're really blessed with talented people in our church. And they're not ashamed to use their talents to glorify God. So that's a blessing to us. I didn't do a very good job on the announcement about next Sunday evening this morning, which is typical of me, but anyway, I was told to emphasize that there'll be something for people of all ages, children, middle adults, senior adults, everybody. Also, the children, there'll be a water slide. She says there's going to be door prizes. So anyway, there's some little brochures here around in the windows and in the back, so be sure and pick up one of them so you'll be well informed about that. You know, I like this time of the year when we can, I like to spend a little bit of time reading about the history of our nation and how it was the majority of people that were involved in the founding of our nation were escaping religious persecution and some examples. And also, we were founded as a Christian nation. And I think it's a good time of the year for us to reflect on how far away from that we've moved and how we need to be very prayerful about moving back in the direction of being a Christian nation. And so I think for those of us that will be here next Sunday, and I know that many people will be traveling, I hope that we can spend some time just reflecting on the importance of the nation that we live in. And I probably forgot something, but I think that's everything. Yeah.
Well, good evening.
Well, what's
glad that all of y'all could be here this evening as I get the chance to have the honor of leading the evening worship service. We're going to start with Mighty Is Our God, if you will all join. Lord, ruler of everything, glory.
Glory to our God, glory to our King, glory to our Lord, ruler of everything, ruler of everything, ruler of everything. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Let's sing that again, church. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let me pray for us before we continue this worship service. Father, I thank you for all the people that could come here this evening. I thank you for this day, and I thank you for all the days, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done for us. We ask that you keep your blessings over your people, Lord. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 4 and verse 5 say, "And on that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his name. Make his works known among the peoples. Declare that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known throughout the earth." Father, please give us the strength to sing, for you have done glorious things. Amen. I have the luxury and the privilege of introducing to all of you a song that was sung as a special recently called Hymn of Heaven. All of us are going to do the first verse and chorus, and then I'll ask all of you to join me at the beginning of the second verse.
Gone and mercy fills the streets to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again.
Join us, church.
And every prayer we prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear, in the end we'll see that it was worth it when he returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose. Join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Saints, we raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Let us life repay when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We will tread the streets of gold when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory.
Let's sing the chorus again, church.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Our Father, thank you for this time of opportunity we come to bring back a portion of that which you've blessed us with. We bring your tithes and we bring our offerings and pray that we give it with open and glad hearts. We look forward to the day, Father, we shout the victory and we see you. Until that time, we live for you each day. Thank you for the many blessings you've blessed us with. And now as we take this, we pray that it glorifies you. You use it to further your kingdom and use us in the same way. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Good evening. It's good to be back with you again this afternoon. And Jack, I actually was introduced to that song last Sunday at First Baptist of Statesboro. There was a choir special, I believe. And it was almost like I had known it. So it was good to hear it again. There's a great message in that song. I commented to someone after the service this morning. As a church, I want to remind you, in case you did not know or was not aware, how blessed you are as a church with the talent you have. I was pastor at First Baptist in Collins for approximately 15 years, including two one-year periods of interim. And during the time that I was there, towards the end, I had a stroke and was unable to continue with my full-time job and the ministry there. And so I realized that I needed to step aside and kind of reduce my responsibilities, and so I just started doing supply work, and that is what I do now, in addition to my full-time job, which is now a part-time job, being I'm semi-retired. Troy, that's okay. I work 2 days a week. I tell people Tuesday is my Monday and Wednesday is my Friday. But I go to a lot of different churches, and you would be surprised at the number of churches in the Tatton Levens Association that do not have a pianist, let alone an organist. And some of them do not even have a song leader. I go to some churches, and not only do I get to preach, I get to do the welcome, I get to do the announcements, and I get to lead the singing. So you are very blessed to have the talent in this church that you have. And I wanted to just tell you that. Now, obviously, we've lost a few from this morning, but that's okay. I'm reminded of I'm reminded of a story I heard about a pastor who was called to a church, and they had about 100 members. And so the pastor showed up on Sunday morning, and the 100 members was there, and he just let loose and preached this wonderful sermon. Well, he came back on Sunday night, and there was only just a handful there. And so he called the chairman of the deacons to one side, and he said, "Listen, you've only got a handful here. Do we want to have service?" And he was a farmer. He said, "Well, let me tell you something, brother." He said, "I've got about 100 cows. And if I go out with a truckload of hay to feed those 100 cows, and only a dozen show up, I feed those that show up." He said, "Okay, that's fine." So he lit in, and he preached about an hour sermon. And he got through, the chairman of deacons called him aside and said, "Look, brother, now I told you that if a dozen showed up, I'd feed them. I didn't say I'd feed them the whole truckload and try to make them eat it all." So we are short in number, but I'm still going to give you a message tonight. And so, but I will not try to overindulge myself. I want to speak to you tonight on the topic of the importance of obedience. And you should have a handout. I think we submitted that. In talking with your pastor, I found out that was something that he did, and so I thought to be consistent in what you did, I would do the same thing, and so as we did this morning. But I will get to the message quicker tonight than I did this morning. I won't try to cram it all in the last 10 minutes. You know, I was called to do a graveside service a number of years ago to a person whom I had never met. And that is difficult. I went to a funeral this afternoon, and the preacher made the comment. He said, "You know, there is no doubt about this person who lies before us." And he challenged everyone to leave no doubt in your life and the life that you live to those around you about your faith, about your belief, about how you live your life. And to leave no doubt as to where your soul will rest when eternity comes for you. And so, as I was called upon to do this service for a person whom I had never met, I met with the family, and I remember distinctly asking them a particular question. I said, "Was he a Christian?" Which I thought was a fair question. And I will never forget their response. They said, "Well, in my way of thinking, he was." And I thought, "Ooh, I wish you hadn't said that. I really wish you had not said that. In my way of thinking, he was." Well, the thing we have to realize, it's not up to our way of thinking. In fact, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, "There is a way that seems right unto man." You know the verse, "but the end thereof is death." Sometimes we can convince ourselves that this way is okay. But when we convince ourselves that this way is okay, we better check it against the truth of God's Word and see, is it really okay? We come to realize as we read the Gospels, and when you start talking about obedience, if you're talking in a small group, invariably you'll have someone who will bring up the issue of, "Well, we're no longer under the law, and we're not bound by the law, and we're now under the age of grace." And yes, that is true. Jesus said, in fact, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, "Do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill." He says, and not one jot, not one tittle, not one bit of it will pass away. He said, every bit of it will come to pass. I didn't come to do away with the law. I didn't come to do away with the prophets. But I did come that you might know my Father and that you might know me. And he went even further and he says, follow me. Follow me. And so the issue of obedience is very important. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, he says, whoever desires to come after me must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Obedience is a central theme of the Scripture. No matter where you read, how far you go from the creation, from the Garden of Eden, all the way through to the book of Revelations, it's difficult to find a book, a chapter, even one page in God's Word that does not in some way, in some reference, address the issue of our obedience, of our following Christ. Jesus said, believe me, but he also said, follow me. He said, do as I have done, go as I have gone, do as I have said. And yet in today's world, Joey mentioned about a Christian nation. I preached a sermon probably 10 or 12 years ago, is America a Christian nation? Based on what it was founded upon and based upon the origins and our Constitution, you would say, absolutely. But based upon common day events, you would have to conclude that America is no longer a Christian nation. Now, there are a lot of Christians in this nation. Okay? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There are a lot of Christians in this nation. But I will tell you right now, if a person run for the highest office in this land and run upon the principles of God's Word, he is unelectable. He could not be elected if he said, I'm going to run and I'm going to base my campaign upon the Word of God and everything he says, that person could not be elected. And that's a sad indictment for where we are. But it's a stark reality to the issue and the essence of our obedience as God's people. Obedience in today's world is ignored by a lot of people. And one of the reasons it's ignored by so many is because it has a tendency to slap us in the face, step on our toes. It gets us where we're at. It confronts us with our sin. It deals and challenges with our lives. You know, there is an unspoken slogan among many people today. It says, there is nobody who will tell me how to live my life. And yet, that's exactly what God's Word says. It tells us how to live our life. And the question is, will we be obedient to that? And the command to obedience is not because God is on a power trip, but it's because he wants his best for us. He's not trying to kill our fun or steal our joy. He's trying to increase our joy, to make us happy, to make us enjoy that relationship with him. You see, salvation, and it really gets under my skin so many times when you see these things on TV, and they talk about the simplicity of salvation. And it is simple. I'll give you that. It is simple. It's as simple as ABC. Admit you're a sinner. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And confess your sins. It's just that simple. But it goes so much farther beyond that simple statement. It involves a life-changing event. You see, salvation is following Christ. When Jesus said, follow me. Salvation is growing in Christ. It's maturing in Christ. It's being Christ-like. It's living a Christ-like life. Let me take you, before I get to our scripture, to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 and look at one verse here, and I'll come back to this at the end. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 is a verse that's quoted so often as Paul is writing to the church at Rome. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we quote that verse and quote that verse and quote that verse, and we put a period at the end of the word Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Period. But that's not the entire verse. We must read on. Let me go back and remind you. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, comma, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So what Paul is saying here is there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ to those who walk according to the Spirit. But there is condemnation to those who walk according to the flesh. And so often we want to leave off that last half of that verse and just say, oh, we've got a license for liberty. We've got a license to do whatever we want to do. It's okay, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. To those who walk according to the Spirit. But to those who walk according to the flesh, not so. So, let's look at our text tonight with that thought in mind as we think about the issue of obedience. And in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. Now, I don't know about you, but that is a very convicting passage to me. As I read that, And I try to never stand before a group of people and preach at them. I try to share the Word of God from the way I see it. And it convicts me every time I read it, every time I see it, every time I try to interpret it and understand what it says. There is Holy Spirit conviction, as I think there should be. And I think that we should, as the song says, open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Open the eyes of our heart, because we want to be like You. We want to be what You want us to be. The only way that we can ever be as a church, as individuals, as Christians, be what God wants us to be, is if we will commit to the essence of obedience, obeying His command. So why is obedience important? Well, let's look at verse 3. Now, by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. So many times you'll talk with people and you will ask, are you sure of your salvation? Well, I think I am. Or I hope I am. Are you saved? I hope so. Well, we don't have to hope so. We can know so. How do you know that you know that you know that you know? How can you be absolutely 100% certain? Well, the answer to that is here very simply in this verse. Now, by this, we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. So, obedience proves our salvation. Do you ever have a doubt? Ask yourself, am I obedient to God's Word? Do I do what His Word? Now, that does not mean, am I perfect? That's not what it's talking about. It's not perfection. Because we're human and we will fail. But to the best of our ability, are we committed? As I said this morning, are we all in? Are we committed to obedience? Not that we try to prove to other people, but that we know ourselves, that we are certain ourselves, and we can know in our heart because of the evidence of obedience. And so this verse is not answering the question of how to become a Christian. It's dealing with the issue of how to know that you are a Christian. How to know that you are a follower of Christ is if you in fact follow Christ and follow Him by doing the things that He instructed us to do. I feel like I'm oversimplifying this, but it is a simple truth, and it is a simple fact that we have to be certain of. So you see, obedience is the evidence of salvation. And obedience will lead to the assurance of your salvation. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Hosea, Hosea chapter 4. I've got it marked here somewhere. Hosea chapter 4. Let me read a few verses here. Hosea had a charge against the nation of Israel. He said, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land." Does that sound like America today? "By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away. With the beast of the field and the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now let no man contend or rebuke another, for you, your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore you shall stumble in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why? Because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priest for me, because you have forgotten the law of your Lord, and I will forget your children." You know, I feel like our nation has walked away from the God who has blessed this nation so richly. And we are in danger of suffering. I'm at a loss for words here. Not put, wipe out. That may be a good phrase. Wipe out. It could happen as a catastrophe. But there will be a chastening. God chastens His children. He chastens those He loves, just like a father chastens his children. That was one of the points of my sermon this morning that I skipped over and left out. But He chastens us. And I think that we can expect discipline from the Lord. Just as Hosea talked to the nation of Israel, because you've walked away from the Lord, because you've failed to be obedient, you can expect God's discipline. And unfortunately, when it rains on the just and the unjust. And discipline to a nation sometimes will affect God's people. And so we sometimes are caught in the crossfire. But the test of knowing God is keeping His commandments. And we have to understand that partial obedience is disobedience. I was reminded of a story that I heard about Henry Schaeffer, who was a Nobel Prize chemist teacher at the University of Georgia. And he rejected Christianity because, even though he was raised in a nominally Christian home in a Presbyterian church, one day in an ethical discussion at his family dinner table, he asked his father a question. His father said, "Well, we're not going to do that." And Henry said, "Well, that's not what the Bible says." He said, "Well, the Bible's wrong." And so Henry just kind of walked away. "All these years I've been taught that this is what we ought to do, and now I'm being told that the Bible is wrong." And so he walked away from it. But over the years, the Lord began to work in his life, and Henry later accepted Christ. And you see, the problem there was not that Christianity was flawed, but his father's claim to faith was flawed. And so many times, individuals have a flawed claim to faith. Now, that's a bold statement, but people will sometimes have a flawed claim to faith. I preached a message a few weeks ago on a faith that does not fail to finish. And I believe it was Dwight L. Moody that said the faith that fails to finish was flawed from the first. And sometimes we fail. But there's nothing wrong with failing. But we must get up and go back and get it right. Obedience proves our salvation. But in verse 4, obedience transforms our life. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. So when we come to know Christ, it will change our life. And so I would simply say that if the Word of God has not changed your life, then you're not a changed person. There's a reality of that in the Scripture, and I could take you through a lot of different scriptures. In Romans chapter 5, Paul talks about grace that reigns in righteousness. In Ephesians chapter 2, he talks about salvation that leads to obedience. In Romans chapter 8, he talks about justification that's accompanied by sanctification. In James chapter 2, he talks about faith that results in works. And here we're talking about, in 1 John chapter 2, truth that expresses itself in a transformed life. So obedience transforms our life, and it will change our life. Let's move on to verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, talking about keeping the word of God, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this, we know that we are in him. Once again, it comes back to this concept of being obedient, of keeping the Word of God. You see, our obedience springs from our love for Him. Now, you know, I've searched the Bible, and there's three reasons or three motives that people will obey Christ. And all of them are justifiable. If you look in Romans chapter 6 and verse 18, you realize that while we were freed from sin, that we are now slaves of righteousness. So why do we obey? Well, slaves have to obey because they're slaves. We're a slave to Christ. If we are a child of God, we are a slave to Christ. So we obey because we're a slave. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are created in Christ Jesus, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, God created us. He created us with a plan, created us with a purpose, gifted us with certain talents that we might work for Him. So in that framework, we are an employee. I do what my employer tells me to do, because I'm employed by Him. I was created in Christ Jesus. Why? For good works. We were created to work for Christ. We're a slave to righteousness, and so we're obedient because we're a slave. We're also an employee for Christ, or we're an employee for the kingdom of God. We should be working for the kingdom of God, and so that calls on us to be obedient, because not only because we're a slave, but also because we're an employee. Then in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, it tells us also that we are sons. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. I heard last Sunday, Jack, you were there, one of the best Father's Day messages. I told my wife after we left there, the best Father's Day message I have ever heard in my entire life. It was a wonderful parallel of how God demonstrated to us what a father figure should look like. And so often as we look at Father's Day, we pick out individuals in our congregation and we elevate them. And there's nothing wrong with that. Our fathers and the men of our church should be examples. But the ultimate example came from our Heavenly Father. And we obey Christ because we're a part of the family. He is our Father. And we want to because we love Him. And so we should obey Christ and obey the Word of God because we love Him. I'm reminded of a bachelor who hired himself a housekeeper. And she was easy on the eyes. And so he would every day go to work, but he would leave this housekeeper a list of chores. List of things to do. Clean up the dishes, mop the kitchen, clean up the bathroom, clean out the toilets. All this list of chores that a housekeeper had to do. Wash the clothes, put away the laundry, change the sheets, change the linens on the bed, all mop and dust. You know, ladies, you know the things that has to be done. But he would leave this housekeeper this list of chores. Well, over the time, years passed, and she continued to work, he fell in love with the young lady, and he married her. Well, when he went to work after marrying her, his co-workers began to rib him and ridicule him and said, "Well, tell me about your housekeeper now. I bet you she ain't going to do all that work that she used to do that she got paid to do." He says, "No, you're wrong. She will do it." They said, "Why do you think she'll do it? You're not paying her anymore." He said, "She'll do it because she loves me. Because she loves me." So why should we obey Christ? Yes, because we're a slave to Christ. Yes, because we're an employee of Christ. We were created for good works. But also because we love Christ. You see, if we don't comprehend what Christ has done for us, we will never embrace what we ought to do for Him. That is when we come to wrap our minds around what Christ has done for us. I'm reminded of when I was in a prison ministry back many years ago, probably close to 35, 40 years ago. There was a black guy. He was a chaplain's clerk. His name was Gary White. And he was so dark you could only see the white of his eyes. But he sang a song, and he would always sing it a cappella. "I owed a debt I did not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. For I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. I'll praise His name all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay." You see, that message will change your life. That truth will change your life. So obedience springs from our love for Him. And lastly, obedience characterizes our walk. I actually went back and picked up verse 1, which I did not read in the original text. "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." You see, our walk, our Christian walk, is how we live, is how we act, is what we say, is what we do. We should walk as Christ walked. He said, "Follow me." We should act as Christ acted. Love others. Love our neighbor. Do for others. I remember when I was about 15 years old, I saw a bumper sticker on a car, and it has kind of stuck in my mind all these years. When I think about these types of topics, my mind always goes back to it. And the bumper sticker simply said, and it was on the back of an ugly green Ford Fairlane, "If you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you?" Wow. The message, the issue of obedience is important for two reasons. Some people profess to be Christian, yet they do not live according to His word, and they have no desire. John would say that's not consistent with the saving grace of the gospel. Some people struggle with assurance of their salvation because they struggle with sin. And that's understandable. But what John is saying here, and he's not asking for perfection, what he's simply asking for is obedience. Keep his commands. And so I go back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who do not walk according to the flesh, but who walk according to the Spirit. You see, the issue there in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it's not a license for liberty, but it's freedom from failure. As humans, we fail. As humans, we fall. As humans, we sometimes do what we ought not to do. As humans, we sometimes do not do what we ought to do. Did I say that this morning? I think I said that this morning. But that's okay. It was true then, it's true now. But what happens is when we fall, we confess our sins and we try again. Because God loves us and He forgives us. But our commitment, once again, as I said this morning, our commitment should be to obey Christ and to follow Christ. As Jack comes to lead us in the hymn of invitation, whatever your need is this morning, I'm always challenged by God's Word, and I'm always challenged by what I need to do. And so I would encourage you to be open to what God would have you to do in your life and as you follow Him. What are we singing?
Just As I Am.
Just As I Am.
Let's stand and sing Just As I Am, church.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee.
Receives us with open arms just as we are. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your word and the opportunity that we've had to be here today in your house with your people to share. And Father, we just pray that the words that we heard, even myself, that it will take lodging in our hearts and that we will just receive it and be responsive to it. Father, we pray your blessings upon this church as they continue their search for a minister of music and their other endeavors, and pray that you would bless their pastor and their new youth minister that they've called, and just pray, Lord, your blessings upon them in the days ahead. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just tell you, it's been a pleasure being with you today. Thank you for the invitation. And if you didn't like it, don't ask me to come back. Yes, sir.
Did you go with us to Gufftown anytime?